Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Dot Zack building in the Grand Center area. Come by anytime, but on every Friday they'll have new music happy hour going on. They'll have new record spinning, and they'll have new music. This Friday, August 11th, they'll have records from Portugal, The Man, Coldplay, Foster the People, The Districts, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 soundtrack, and much, much more. Find full details at musicrecordshop.com. You can follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. And this year, Music Record Shop is also the official sponsor of Lubefest. So be sure to follow along and figure out how you can win yourself some Lubefest tickets this year. Again, all details, musicrecordshop.com. Check it out. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is PJ Kennedy, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,
rock Paper Podcast, y'all. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with PJ Kennedy.
What's up?
Hey, man. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, this is cool, man, because like, we've been talking a little bit here, but we've run into each other a couple of times. I think first time we met was Broadway Oyster Bar, I believe.
Yeah, and the best part about that is somebody told me about your page, because I'm always asking around who's playing where, how can I find this or whatever, and they're like, there is this guy that condenses an entire list almost every single night. So I friended you before I knew who you were, and that's not creepy at all on Facebook. But anyway, so I friended you, and then like just the picture with the Cardinals hat, and ran into you at Oyster Bar, which of course, leave it. I think it was probably Mighty Pines.
Yeah, probably.
Or Aaron Cam. One of the two.
Could have been.
Either way, both those guys rocked Oyster Bar within the last few months. And it's just from that photo, you've got an image.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's got to be you.
Nice. Well, yeah, we talked a little bit that night, and then I just ran into you at Jackal Fest, which was another
incredible
party.
Yeah. So what is the story behind getting that together? They had three stages. They just were stacked with 20 plus bands, musicians that all kicked ass.
Oh yeah. Yeah, last year was the inaugural, I guess, the first Jackal Fest, and
that is so, yeah, it's close to Jack Off Fest, but okay, continue. I'm sorry, Jackals, you guys have a kick-ass name that everybody knows and recognizes, yeah. But and for those that aren't familiar with them, it could be a little bit confusion.
Sure. Yeah.
There's going to be some guy that shows up to the wrong party, yeah. I'll tell you that much.
Man, this is music?
I came here with my trench coat. And everything.
Last year was incredible, and then this year again knocked out of the park, man. Just a lot of fun. I got there late, I got to see Old Souls Revival and Brother Lee and Rover, and they all kicked ass. But I imagine the whole day through it was just looking at that lineup, I was like, this is insane. Like the fact that like I think only one Sweet Talker, I think, was the only one from not St. Louis, but pretty much everybody else has claimed St. Louis. So, like, to look at that festival and, like, realize how much incredible music is coming out of the city right now.
Yeah, it speaks a lot for a music scene. And going to Old Souls, that was the first time. So Neil runs around with his acoustic guitar all the time. I think that was the first time that I saw an electric guitar in his hand, and that was the first time that I saw those guys play, and now I get it. Like, yeah. there's a lot of buzz around town, and it's because those guys kick ass.
Oh, yeah.
I was really excited. I mean, the three bands, where you had Kittens, and then you had Old Souls, and then you had Brother Lee. Holy crap, like, just stack three just incredible bands with just tons of great musicians back to back to back. Oh man, I love when music ends like that.
For sure.
Yeah, and then Cara Louise, man, knocked it out of the park too. Unfortunately, it was such a nice day that I was golfing, and it took me 6.5 hours to do 16 holes, so I didn't get there till 6:37-ish or so. So I only caught those bands, but right. There were definitely some on the midday lineup that I wish that I could see, but I will.
Yeah. Well, if you don't know Brother Lee or Old Souls, all these people we're mentioning, go look at that lineup, because you need to know all those names, because there's some really great music. So,
and we're going to keep name dropping them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, until you listen to it. I got their entire repertoire and an acoustic guitar here. I will do them no justice.
I tell you, though, I did one night at a party, maybe a year ago or something, Josh of Brother Lee was sitting around with an acoustic and played.
So is he the lead guitar player?
Yeah, vocals.
Okay, yeah. Matt Roll and I were just like, who's that guy? And that guitar, that tone is incredible, and yeah. He was just killing it. Yeah. So okay, Josh, yeah. I look forward to meeting Josh guy.
And he writes a lot of the lyrics too and stuff. And anyway, like, so he just sat there on the couch with an acoustic and played the song, and I was like, man, I love this. Like, so. It makes me want to, like, you know, as much as I love what Brother Lee does live as a rock show, I would love to see them do, like, in a stripped-down, like, acoustic version also, just because, like, I think it would be really something cool to see. Because, like, Josh doing that on just an acoustic was a lot of fun to watch. And so I imagine, like, Danny sitting on a cajon or something, like, would be cool, like, just to see them do something like that.
Yeah, and all of those guys, the first time that I saw them was at Halo Bar, I guess. There was some St. Louis music showcase over Del Mar Hall next door, and then I heard that they were playing at Halo Bar, and I was like, great, you know, I can Uber there, drink a couple beers, stumble over to the next place, enjoy good music, and then Uber back home, because safe driving is a must. And anyway, I didn't know anything about them. I was going to the Del Mar Hall show, and I just heard, you need to check out these Brother Lee and the Jackal guys. And yeah, they've just got like this. They've got their own thing going on. Wow, that is just so. That's a wide net. But it's kind of got this like Zeppelin flavor to me,
for sure.
Without being Zeppelin like. And just this kind of 80s underground punk thing. And I don't know, there's just a lot of things going into these guys that I'm happy that I can't describe, because that means that they're kind of just frontiering their own shit. Jeez. And good for them.
Good old-fashioned rock and roll, man, that's for sure. Like, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
So are you saying that these guys are all sex, drugs, and rock and roll? Or are we getting...
Pretty much. I mean, definitely in beer in there, too. You know, they write a lot of songs about drinking and drugs and all that, so...
Well, like we were just talking about with Chris Stapleton, at Lou Fest, the only time that I saw him, we just started counting how many songs had the word whiskey in them.
Oh, yeah, about every one of them.
Yeah, and yeah. It started off with a joke, as a joke, but no, I'd say a solid 75% plus. And the ones that don't, somebody's leaving them.
Yeah.
And you know damn well that the follow-up song is going to be out the whiskey after somebody's left them. So.
Right. Yeah, there's on that Traveler record alone, there was like Whiskey and You, mm-hmm. Tennessee Whiskey...
That guy is keeping the whiskey industry afloat.
Right,
Fire Away, that's my big one
for sure
for him. But rest in peace, Chris Cornell. I feel like those two guys have a similar presence in their voice, where it's like you can put them in front of children's lullabies, and people are going to listen to it because the vocals alone are that amazing. throw some good songwriting and a strong band behind them, it's like you're unstoppable. I can't wait for Chris Stapleton to come out with another album.
Yeah. Well, I just a bit ago, I forget the name of it, but Broken Halos and all that. It's like, so you just put out a new record just a little bit ago. So to go check that one out.
That's the name of his record?
Broken Halos is like the single on it.
Got it.
I don't know the name of the, I can't think of the name. It's like a volume one or something, or whatever they call it. I don't know.
So is there going to be a volume two? Probably. I always love when bands do this. All right, like what happened to, like the Pumpkins had a double disc. It was either Siamese Dream or Melancholy. Not a Pumpkins fan?
I'm not a big Pumpkins fan.
No. Oh, well, this is great. I'm going to play nothing but Pumpkins.
Here we go.
Gish from here on out. But yeah, like the days of the double discs, I kind of miss those. And I feel like a lot of the bands now are doing the volume one, volume two, because everything's digital. And quite honestly, it's a lot easier to digest less songs at a time. If somebody throws you 22 songs, you're just going to say, all right, I'm going to find my 5 to 8 to 10 to 12 favorite and kind of nail those down. And once you get bored with them, you start discovering, you know, the deeper tracks and so forth. But now everybody's kind of doing this volume one, volume two type thing. And I say everybody very loosely. I just see that it happens. Not a whole lot of the bands that I follow.
All right.
But I always get curious because when I'm looking up an artist and I see the volume one, I'm like, I can't wait for volume two. But then I'm not invested enough to remember to check out volume two. And I just assume it's a completely different record. And why is it not a different record? Like, if you're doing volume one, volume two, release them at the same time.
Right.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Enough talking about all these other people. I want to get to know a little more about what PJ's up to.
Well, I'm working on volume one right now.
Yeah, here we go. Volume one.
Self-titled volume one.
So like I said, we've only known each other a little while now, but, I learned
nothing but positive experiences, Shane.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm all about. I like positivity.
Yeah, I feel like it's a real, give on your side though, because, I mean, the few times that I do see you, like, I get to go see a great band, or you're already there seeing a great band, so it's awesome. I don't know what I'm offering to you. But then your Facebook page, again, just has, I check this shit all the time. And it is just, like, here are 10 to 22 bands, maybe there's more, maybe there's less,
sure,
that are playing tonight. And every now and then it's a Thursday night, and like last Thursday, I'm sitting on the couch at 7:30, and I just go, like, I just had this urge. Like, I'm bored. Cardinals are not playing well. And I want to go see live music. Maybe only for an hour or so. And then I check your page. And lo and behold, Tommy Holleran, who I've heard a lot about, is playing at Joe's Cafe, which is a place that everybody in St. Louis should experience. So, take a quick shower, throw on some jeans, head out there. By the time that I get there, it's like 8:20, and then the door guys are arguing whether or not they should let me in, and it's just one guy, you know? Like, lo and behold, this place is already packed, so get there early. They open doors at 7. But no, because of you, like, I just can impulsively get on the interwebs and find great music, and then whatever that you post there, at least from all of my experiences, even when I don't recognize the bands, like, I'll see a venue and it's like I love everything at Off-Broadway. Like,
sure.
If Shane is recommending Off-Broadway with this band, I'm there. And I check it out, and thus far, dozens of times, or maybe a dozen of times or whatever. Like like you said, we've known each other for all of 6-ish months. So, long story short, check out his page.
Yeah.
When he's not getting kicked off Facebook.
Right.
Let's talk about that, by the way.
Oh, I don't know. It's silly. It's happened a few times recently, but I guess it's they have it to where you could tag like 100 bands or 100 pages or whatever, and
in the same post.
Yeah, but then like they would only like accept maybe 50 of them or whatever it was. They had like, and then the rest would just, it would, the post would still post. It just, the other half would not be tagged. It would just be text.
Oh.
And then they changed it to where, like, they only allow you to tag 50. Any more than that, then it's not going to get posted. And then, like, so if I go, and if I post more than, or if I tag more than 50 on there, then it's like, I'm getting like flagged or something. Like they say that it's abusive and or something by their Facebook policies or whatever and stuff. So like, so something I'm doing to, I don't know if
using the power of too many good bands right. in St. Louis. Yeah. That's what you're doing,
right? I don't know. It's the whole thing's crazy trying to figure out Facebook, and it's really lame. I don't know, but yeah, just off of a 3-night weekend in Facebook jail. So, but I don't know. Yeah, it's weird.
What happens in Facebook jail? Like, do they send you a notice like you'll be back online on Monday?
No, they just they don't even tell you. Like, it just all of a sudden, like, you try to post and it's not going to post. Like, so I can tag or I can comment, I can like, I can't share, and I can't make a post on my page. I can post in groups and I can share from like Instagram or whatever, you know, anything else. But like, it's weird. Like, there's just a couple of things that I can't do. And it's like, I don't know. I can still access my podcast page, which I posted an episode, but it's like, it's silly. I don't know.
So. Unfortunately, I follow both. So right. if you have to switch it over to the other, because I was reading the comments today and somebody said, make a business page, I'll follow you there.
Yeah. I don't know.
Especially if this podcast ends up posted on there.
Yeah, right. but yeah, I don't know, man. So I don't know if it's somebody flagging it or if it's just all the Facebook algorithm stuff or whatever.
I hope that flagger's not listening to this podcast. I'll find him. Where...
you hear this?
We're coming for you. Yeah. We're gonna come for you, flagger.
There it is.
Don't flag my fucking post.
That's a hit right there.
God, I had so much writer's block up until you showed up.
Hey, that's what it's all about, man.
It's all about being true to what you're passionate about. And mine is Mark Zuckerberg not bringing you down.
Yeah.
I had to pause there and think if I said his name right. But whatever. He is not going to bring you down. This is a pirate ship, as Corolla would always say.
Yeah.
You let it fly.
But you said you got the guitar here. You want to play us one, man?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I am still searching for a studio. I am well past the time of I just have bookloads of songs that I would love to record. And about a year ago at this time, I was sitting down with my buddy Alan Cavanine, who he had a music studio in his basement. His brother I've been great friends with for a long, long, long time. And for like 2 years prior to that, he's like, my brother has a recording studio in his basement. Like, everybody who has a computer has a recording studio in their basement. Anyway, long story short, he got married and they were at the old Rock House, and him and his wife said it would be really great if you and my brother could play a couple songs. I mean, how we have the PA system there, we're at the old Rock House to do it or whatever. So I go over there and he texts me. He's like, hey, come over to my house. I have a recording studio in the basement. So I was like, all right, like, when are they going to give it up? I went over there, and we went downstairs. I go, holy fuck, you have a recording studio in your basement. Like, this shit is legitimate. So we played around a little, and he's just a super awesome guy, and I've known him my entire life. And so he's like, let's sit down, let's cover this EP. So we started recording, and click tracks are not my friend. And furthermore... I now get it. All my life, I hear these bands live. I go to all these live shows, and I just question, you know, why don't they just record these? You know, they have the songs, just play them live, record them, spit them out. It's an album. Why is this so hard? But no, as any recording person, I'm not going to call myself a recording artist because I haven't released shit yet. I've recorded plenty of stuff and then changed it and whatever. All you want to do is, like, question yourself and what you're doing. So long story short, we recorded for probably 20-something hours. I think I got 2.5 acoustic and vocal songs out of it. And, like, one of them I don't want people to hear and I don't play anymore. And the other one turned out all right, so, you know, we'll add some drums to it. But in the meantime, I will probably sit down and work on a 6-song EP, and the song might be one of them on there. So, so this is my attempt at a happy song, because just so much easier not to write happy songs. Your tongue, you've been longing for a fruit you never had for far too long. The grass is greener, your neighbor's lawn, but it's all just the same shade of gray. Right before the dawn. 'Cause if you're gonna love somebody, give it all. From the tip of your body to the tip of your soul. And when you finally found the one, you just let go. That's when you'll know. Dry land. Sure, a boat will stay afloat just long enough to crash into the sand. Only then will you understand. If you're gonna love somebody, give it all. From the tip of your body to the tip of your soul. If you're gonna love somebody, give it all. Tip of your body to the tip of your soul. And when you finally found the one, you just let go. That's when you'll know. Yeah, so that is my I wish that I had a really heady band song, because you know that it has the longer jams relative to anything else that I wrote, because I could go on like 7-8 minutes of just fish solos with that, just run that A chord, and just it's a major, it's happy,
right?
Where anything following this, the songs are going to be a little bit darker, but stay tuned,
yeah,
because they're not bad. I hope. In my mind,
there's I told you I was going to tell you a little story about follow up that told on here a couple times, but it's relevant to what you were just talking about. But I saw Aaron Lewis of Stained at the pageant one night.
I saw him cover Black one time,
yeah,
and it was the coolest thing ever. Like, that's a song that I'm afraid for people to touch, but that won me over with Aaron Lewis forever. Whatever he does here on out, We'll put him back to the Chris Stapleton and Chris Cornell. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be named Chris to have a really powerful vocal presence. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, he's got a killer voice, man. But yeah, he writes, I mean, especially Stain stuff was like super depressing. And you know, now he's kind of getting a little bit more like with his country music. It's still his voice, but it's a little bit more, you know, kind of happier side to it. And like, so when I saw him live, he was just kind of getting into that first country record and stuff, and he put
he's pulling a Hootie? He's gone country?
Yeah, he's gone Hootie, yeah.
And you're telling me this is a positive thing?
No, I don't, but he's still a great performer, and he's still a great guy that has a great voice.
Like I said, he won me over with Black. He'll be great with whatever he does. He could sing Taylor Swift songs. I'll be okay with that.
So that night he did... you know, he's playing a couple of old songs and a couple of new ones, and he's doing a bunch of sad, depressing songs from the Stain stuff, and he goes, so he's like, so I fucked up and I wrote a happy song, and I just thought, like, it made me laugh so hard, like, just the whole idea that it was a mistake that he wrote this happy song,
right?
It's like, and it was just such a great line and stuck with me like that. So, like, just the fact that you're struggling to write happy songs yourself and stuff, and. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I love a lot of that, like, super dark, sad, depressing songs and stuff on it. So
yeah, and the thing about it too is, I feel really possessive of the artists that I love that have those kind of listen to this is your bedroom song, or like when you're on the long drive. Like, I don't want to listen to some of my favorite songs around people. I'm like, this is my song. And when you're around people, you want to be happy, you want to act happy, you want to listen to happy tunes. Therefore, you don't really have the presence of mind to have that depressing stuff. And anyway, long story short is that's when you write songs, when you're not around people. I'm sure Aaron Lewis isn't sitting there with a 5-piece band saying, does this A chord sound depressing for you? No, he's like, hey, I got a sad song. It's an A minor and a 4/4 time, and just try to keep up. Like Back to the Future style.
Right.
So it's in B flat, and then watch me for the changes. Try to keep up.
Yeah.
Anyway. I love that movie.
Yeah, man.
And the fact that Michael J. Fox actually can play tunes, is awesome, but I completely derailed you from your Aaron Lewis depressing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was also another fun fun fact for that particular evening. I recorded Aaron covering "Turn the Page," Bob Seger.
Okay,
and
I'm so happy that I didn't guess the "Turn the Page." I was about to say something that would have been very off from that.
Oh yeah, were going to say Metallica?
I was going to say Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Metallica covered it too, so.
Oh, I was going to say Metallica.
Yeah. But I recorded it on my phone, just a little, you know, I was right up front, and it sounded pretty good, and I put it on YouTube, and I was scrolling through Facebook one day, and all of a sudden I see this video pop up, Aaron Lewis doing "Turn the Page," and I was like, oh, that's cool. I click on it, and I was listening, and I was like, oh. Yeah, that's my video, and I, it was like it, Bob
oh, shit.
Bob Seger's Facebook page shared my YouTube video, and I was like, so I have one YouTube video that's like way more video, way more views than anything else.
But you just piggyback off of that.
All
it's
right.
It's what you need to do. I've got a video with 1.1 million views on YouTube.
Whoa.
Not me though. And boy, have I piggybacked off that, because then I've got another like. An original, me covering Eleanor Rigby with 206,000 views. But I didn't realize that. I put it up in 2007. And I didn't realize until just like a few months ago how horribly bad I advertised it. I was a marketing major too. You think that I probably did this subconsciously. Anyway, it says Eleanor Rigby... Beatles studio piano version, and I bet everybody out there, they listen to the first 20 seconds, they're like, that's about Paul McCartney, and get mad. But the insights say that some of them stick with it, so, you know, of the 206,000, there are a handful of people that may have listened to the whole thing
in
my MIDI saxophone. But then I have a whole bunch of originals. Please don't look it up, because I haven't put anything up there since 2008 or 9. And it's embarrassing to look back at now, as I'm sure this podcast will be in 10 years. I don't know why I'm just going to pause on that. But either way, it's one of those, you know, you look back at that and like everything, you just think, I could have done better. I could, sure. You know, why did I post this? That's not how I play it today. That's not how I want to be represented. But if you got 86,000 views on a John Mayer cover of Say, I'm not going to take it down. So bite me, worlds. And everybody who's in the comments session telling me that I look like Adam Sandler, go fuck yourselves. So, I mean, Shane, we've known each other short enough. Do I give you an Adam Sandler impression?
No, I haven't
got that. Why do I do it? Okay, anyway. For the audio, you can't see the arms.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, tangent. I'm just trying to one-up Zach and his just totally out there podcast. I think you should have Zach like bi-weekly.
Oh yeah, I agree. He
wouldn't repeat himself, I guarantee that.
He's a very entertaining guy.
Yeah, as they all are. I mean, you've had so many people that I look up to and I see play live, and you know, like we were talking about with Dan Roth that I hung out with in high school all the time. I don't know where you're getting these people, but after 430 podcasts or so, you're skimming the barrel and you're getting me. So you're welcome. I guess St. Louis has about 429 great acts to offer. But I did see Drew Schaefer was on it, what, third time? Was that Drew Schaefer number three recently?
No, Drew's only been on once.
What?
John Henry was on his first.
That's what it was, John Henry.
Yeah, he was just on for his third appearance.
Who may be the nicest human being in the music
for
business.
Sure. Yeah, great guy.
In my head, you hear about like artists. I love Dave Matthews Band. He worked at Miller's Bar in Virginia. Yes, I know that. I was 15 and obsessed. And it was a music venue, and people are playing or whatever. And he just goes, you know, in his head, he's like, I want to show these songs to the best musicians. And who does that, by the way, and like ends up with a band that they end up touring with for 25 years. So in a very, what I thought was similar story, I was at Mizzou and John Henry's behind the bar at Blue Fugue, once Music Cafe, then Blue Fugue. And I'd always play these Monday night open mics. And he basically said like, yeah, you know, like we're looking for a keyboard player. I'm like, John, keyboard's my primary instrument. I've been a piano player since I was 6 years old. June 9th, 1991, at least that's what's scribbled on my little piano book. Like, I'm your guy or whatever. And so I played with them for a semester of college. And boy, we have some funny stories. And then I realized, oh, hey, you know, not playing at Harpo's and Forge and Vine and whatever else random things that we would get for the week is like financially not putting money in my back pocket, John. Like, so unfortunately that was the reason that I ended up leaving, just because I was broke as a joke. And I didn't realize up until that point that the last 3 years of my college were being funded by me playing these bar gigs. So anyway, a long story short, I got to know John. We drove Oliver really great United States places like Topeka, Kansas, and St. Joe's, Missouri, and we even saw Springfield, Missouri once or twice. But he's such a cool guy, and I guess I've only listened to John Henry podcast number three, but I've got two more to look forward to.
Yeah, we did one, just me and him, and then we did the second one was with Emily Wallace and her sister Allie, and set at Friendly's, and they were both gearing up to play Lou Fest. We kind of talked about that last year, and Allie and Emily couldn't hang very long, so they ducked out, and it was turning into just me and John. So it was a lot of fun, though, getting to talk about some of his new record and things, so have to check those out.
Was that the Dark Skies?
Dark City, Dark Country.
There's, for such a light guy, that's a dark title.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he's had a knack for naming songs and naming albums. So, yeah. One more time.
Dark City, Dark Country.
Got it. All right. It's available on iTunes, I presume.
Yep. Well, you mentioned some of the, you know, some of these touring and doing some live shows and stuff, but you have some of your own shows coming up.
That I do.
And let's get some of these out here. You are playing a benefit coming up on August 19th called Flights for Future. Is that right?
Flights for Future. Yes. It is at an airplane hangar at Lambert Airport, and it is a charity benefit. And one of my friends asked me, and they just said, hey, we've got 4 hours to fill. Like, you got a band that you could put together and take 2 hours, and there will be another band that will take another 2 hours. And lo and behold, I gave the guys that I wanted to play, you know, the band with the wrong date, and they ended up getting booked. So I spent a couple days desperately looking around to see, you know, how I could kind of remedy this with a duo, trio type of thing. And I'm playing an airplane hangar by myself on on August 19th. But yeah, I'm going to whittle it down to about an hour. I got my Boss RC2 loop pedal, and you know, maybe I've got a few weeks to potentially find another duo partner, because at the end of the day, long solo gigs, as many of the people that have been on your podcasts can probably tell, you get a little bit lonely. So it's always nice to hear another voice, or, you know, a nice 4/4 beat behind you on a cajon or something. So
yeah,
yep, that's the one most recent on the calendar, and really looking forward to it, because I mean, how many people get to play in an airplane hangar?
Yeah, that sounds interesting for sure.
I'll let you know how the acoustics are.
Yeah, and then you got another one, and this will be on September 1st at ITAP Chesterfield, and you will be playing that evening with
Famous Matt Rowland, yes, the guitar guru. So going back to my Mizzou days, ooh, that's going to be a fun story. Do you have a minute or two?
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever heard of Robert Randolph? Family Band. So we'll take it all the way back. I lived in Hudson Dorm, 7th floor, and I loved Robert Randolph, but I didn't get to go to the show. I was broke, and I believe it was sold out. And the guy across the hall the next day, I said, hey, Ben, you know, how was that show? And he's like, oh, my God, you wouldn't even believe it. Like, it was the best show ever, but they pulled this guy out of the crowd. Like, it was staged, whatever, but, like, they pulled this guy out of the crowd, and he was as good, if not better, than the whole band, and it was, like, the coolest thing in the world, and, you know, I just thought it was awesome. So, like, that just stuck in my head, you know, kind of like your Aaron Lewis thing. It's something just little like that sticks in your head, and I'm like, I wonder who the hell this guy was. So I kind of just keep skating along, and at this point, I know, like, every Dave Matthews song on all the first three albums, and I'm feeling very confident of my acoustic guitar playing skills, because everyone in the dorm is like, hey, you're kind of good at the acoustic guitar. I'm like, yeah. And so my buddy Chris comes along, and he goes, hey, there's a guy in my fraternity that will blow you away with guitar. And, like, I've got a little bit of hubris at this point. I'm like, no. Like, have you been to Hudson Gillette? Like, I'm the guitar player in Hudson Gillette. Like, I can play all the 90s songs. So much Matchbox 20 and Counting Crows and Black Crows, all the Crows. And so, like, at this point, I'm getting a little bit of a big head, because, you know, everybody in college owns a guitar, and they strum a G chord and a C chord, and they, you know, that's what I'm getting used to. I'm like, this is my competition. So he goes, there's this guy in my frat. So I put it in this super heavy case, and I walk all the way across the dorm, and I go to whatever frat house that it was, and I walk in, and I was like, hey, you know, like, Matt, I'm PJ, da-da-da. Chris set us up, so we're going to play. And he's like, okay. So as I'm taking my guitar out, like, I hear him just kind of fiddling, just not doing anything exciting other than, you know, just warming up riffs, making sure that he's in tune. And it is some Stevie Ray Vaughan, like, off-the-wall shit that just even his piddling around stuff was incredible. So I didn't say anything. I took a lot longer to open my guitar case, and then I acted like I was tuning up. And at the end of it, I spent 5 to 10 minutes just, you know, he's like, hey, man, you ready or whatever? I'm like, no, still tuning over here. Like, you know, get your shit warm and whatever. And Steve Ranney, who was a bass player at the time, so they played all the time. So they just started jamming something out. And I was so afraid to hop in and lo and behold, fast forward a couple months, I ended up getting a gig. And it was my first time with a four-hour gig. And I said, hey, Matt, I don't know how I'm going to fill this. How about I do an hour and a half, and then there's a half hour downtime, and then we do like 15 minutes, and then you finish it off or whatever. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And that is how I spent the next 3 years playing with Matt Roland, who, a.k.a. every time that I played with him, was a paid four-hour guitar lesson. And up until then, you know, again, I was just listening to my Counting Crows Dave Matthews stuff. Very happy, just, you know, of course. I was really happy doing that. But Matt, in a four-hour set, would, you know, I go, hey, you know, your turn to solo or whatever. He's like, okay, whatever. And then the next song, he'd be like, hey, man, your turn. I'm like, no, your turn. So he just kept putting me on the spot until, you know, I'd be like, me, 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 do, do, do. And just play so many off notes. But we did this two nights a week for 3 years or whatever. And eventually, you know, I got some chops, never to that level. But I will 100% credit him for skewing me to play outside of that, just be content with the rhythm side of acoustic guitar playing. Electric guitars still scare the crap out of me. They're so loud, they're so in your face. So I prefer to stick behind the acoustic, but as you see over there, I finally graduated and bought my Fender American Strat with the Texas Blues pickups. And every time that I plug it into, you know, my Fender Blues Junior or whatever, like I turn it up to about 2.5 and I'm like, ah, that's about it. You know, it goes up to 12.
Right.
But the neighbors on the other side of that wall over there will tell you that 2.5 is plenty. So I'll be playing with him. Wow, yeah. That was a long roundabout.
So was Matt the guy that they pulled on stage or?
Yes. Oh, dear God. Thank you for bringing that back in. So long story short, yeah, it was Matt was in the crowd and Robert Randolph, you know, as they do, I found out that most gigs they tote out a guitar and they go, hey, who wants to play this? And all the frat guys are standing around and they're pointing at him. And Matt has had his fair share of booze. And he pops up on stage and the guitar guy asks him a couple times and he says, are you sure you can play this? You know, I mean, you're at the Blue Note, a sold out show. You better know how to play a pentatonic scale. So Matt said, you know, I got this or whatever. So he got up there, he shredded it. And fast forward, as the story was told to me, he went to the restroom, was taking a leak, was trying to figure out if that really just happened or if he was that drunk until somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, you were that guy that was just on stage. You were awesome. And he said, oh my God, that really happened. So, it's nice. And that was how I was introduced to him before I was introduced to him.
Right.
And there is your God knows how long of this podcast that story just ate up story.
Well, so that'd be September 1st, ITAP, Chesterfield. You can come see PJ and Matt play together. You want to give them another one they might hear that night?
Well, no, I
or you
we typically play
covers that night?
Just the covers that night. My friend who introduced me to Matt, his mom has shown up a couple times to that gig and has asked me to play this song that I'm going to play next. Because I played it in an open mic, and she said, I really like the lyrics. And I go, good, because that is my weak part. So I hope that the structure of the song stands up for itself, because that's what I was priding myself for. But anyway, yeah, maybe I'll play it that night. Yeah. Roundabout dancing. But this song is called You're a Fool, and it is very... I wrote it a long time ago, so it almost feels like a cover song, but it's... potentially one of my favorites. So I'll get at it. Oh, and going back to the depressing songs, this really is a happy song. It does not sound happy at all. Thank you. Why do you have to go? Leave me standing here all on my own. When you were a friend, former lover found another to be with till the end now. And why did I have to play your fool? In this game, it's made for two, it's just a game. It's not like me to be so cruel. But if you did it once before, why would you do it once again? I say no, you're not different. God only knows you're not the same. Game. No, it's not like me to be so cruel. But if you did it once before, why would you do it once again? I say no, you're not different. And God only knows you're not the same. Yeah, and yesterday was your wedding day, and I hope that you enjoyed your cake. Someday I'll have my own cake and I'll eat it too. You see, when it comes to being happy, it's a man who's been set free. Take a look on your little finger and you won't see a ring from me. I say no, you're not different. God only knows you're not the same. I say no, you're not different, yeah. God only knows you're not the same.
Damn, man.
That was great. Hey.
I dig that, man.
I am, like, the whole ambiance of being in my living room, we are recording this in my living room, is weird because, one, my neighbors get mad when I try to sing really loud, and so I, like, normally cut it and tone it down. And, two, we're in my living room, so I'm playing intimate songs that I typically don't play out too often. But I do like that one. And while I say it's a happy song, it's because it resolved itself. The story behind it was I was a junior in college living in this really shitty studio apartment that had a Murphy bed. And I pulled the mattress off of the Murphy bed to give myself more room and put it in the corner. And it was like 6 inches thick. And there was this little bitchy lady that lived below me, and her name was... she's probably not alive, but I'm still not going to name drop it. Her name was Evelyn. And and she would get so mad at me for playing my acoustic guitar. She would come up all the time and knock on my door and just say, like, you're playing it too loud. I'm like, it's an acoustic guitar, lady. I'm not even singing. I'm just playing my acoustic guitar. And then so I would play my piano and I would put my headphones in, and she would hear, like, the playing of the piano without the notes with my headphones in and say, that's too loud. So I went out and I bought a Fender Bullet electric guitar, and I played it not plugged in, and I wrote that song just, you know, under my breath. And, yeah, God only knows you're not the same. So I was whispering it, and I was just miserable. And, like, she really egged me on with, a lot of anger towards that song.
Yeah.
And where it ends up happy is that was the song's not about Evelyn, but trust me, a lot of that pent up rage was about Evelyn. And the party that it was about, just, you know, I completely misunderstood that side of things, and I was like, wow, I really misunderstood that, and I have a song that's really angry. And well, at least I have that, you know. I'll always play this angry song and know that it's not as angry as it should be. And then I thought about starting a punk band, calling it Evelyn's Foe. Is that not a great name for a punk band? I don't play punk music, but if I did, you know, or if anybody wants to credit me for Evelyn's Foe, I think that is a fantastic name for a band. You know, just kind of side note, say, I heard this on Shane's podcast.
Right.
And it has no significance other than bitchy old lady.
I have a like a sometimes when I hear certain songs and whatever, like I'll have like a, you know, vision, whatever, like what a music video might be, and like,
ooh,
listening to that, I picture you like just sitting on a stool in like a smoky blues bar kind of thing, like playing that, like
so. No. When you're saying smoky blues bar, I think you ever see the Mr. Big? Hold on, little girl. Oh, No. Sorry. God, I always mix that up with More Than Words.
Oh,
the
yeah,
black and white, sure. Smokey.
There you go.
So it's going to be like More Than Words, which is all major chords, very happy. But with that song. Okay.
Yeah. They apparently they hate that song. Like, that was like their
double-edged sword.
Yeah, that was a big hit, but like everything else was like pretty rock, and like they got known for their ballad, and they resented it.
Yeah, I was watching before I knew who they were. MTV Cribs had the guy from why did I just lose the name? More Than Words.
Extreme.
Yeah, that song's not extreme at all. So he's walking around, he's like, here's my pool, and here's my multi-million-dollar mansion.
Yeah.
And More Than Words was a double-edged sword, and I'm thinking, what's the other edgy motherfucker? You have a pool and a multi-million-dollar mansion. Like,
yeah,
all right, you know, like, if you don't want to play that song for the rest of your life, give me a couple dollars, I'll play it every single gig I play.
Yeah.
And it will be terrible. And I will, you know, I will take that terribleness straight back to my pool and cry underwater and let the tears fill my pool and not have to use a hose. So anyway, so that's is that the general vibe that you were thinking of when you think dark smoky? Because like, did you see the version where Jimmy Kimmel and Jack Black like recreated that music video?
Jimmy Fallon. Yeah. So many Jimmys in Late Night.
Yeah, and they're all great. Jimmy Fallon must be like the nicest guy in the world. He gets people to do so much stuff. But anyway, they recreated it, and it was just like,
yeah, it's pretty great.
More black and white.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews Band Crash album also has that smoky black and white. The Crush video has that smoky black and white thing.
Yeah.
So are we still going on that line, or you got a totally new vision?
Yeah, I mean, that was something like that. It's got that cool bluesy kind of groove to it there and stuff. So
yeah, I even forgot like my signature lick. I don't know why I'm nervous now, but I am. You know, trying to pretend like I'm playing in a club on my couch.
Woo!
Oh man, I've already dropped enough curse words here to stop there while I'm ahead. But thanks for the appreciation.
Yeah. You wanna do one more?
Sure, why not?
And so we're working on the EP, and then with this one, thinking maybe on the EP also, or
yeah. So that last one will be on the EP. The first one is, you know, the one that's teetering. You know, it'll be there if I don't write better songs. And this is one that I've been playing forever. And going back to your smoky, dark club vibe, I always think about what kind of sparked this song. I was going to an open mic, and there were two girls when I walked in. You know, I walked in, I signed up, I had my guitar and my little soft case, carrying it up, and I always remember this. And while I'm waiting, because as you do with an open mic, you sign up like an hour and a half beforehand or whatever. I'm sitting in the corner and just kind of like casually drinking my beer. This is pre iPhone days, so I've got nothing to do really, and I'm just looking around, and there are these two girls that are just playing cards at this in this dark bar with the stage, and just waiting for this open mic to start. And I was just like, you know, one of these girls is really cute or whatever. And so I have nothing to do. God, now looking back on it, it's like, what did I do? You know, you sign it. I may have exaggerated with an hour and a half, but you sign up like an hour and a half hour early. So for a half hour, I'm just basically staring into my beer, trying to pretend like I've got something to do, somewhere to be. And I'm pretty sure I just probably talked to the bartender a whole lot. And you know, after a long enough time, I was like, it was just really intriguing that these two cute girls are sitting at a bistro table playing cards by themselves. And I don't know why it was so intriguing, but I went home and I wrote this song. So, and I'm really afraid to record this one because it's changed so many times. And I feel like once you stamp it in a recording, that's you saying, these are the lyrics, this is the structure. So if it changes, then it changes. But yeah, this one's called Ton of Bricks. Which, you know, I know where my titles come from, and I always hope that they sound more creative than where they actually came from. Like, hey man, that guy's in a different level thinking something. He's so deep and dark and whatever, but no. But you'll get it. Hits you like a ton of bricks. You think it's love, but it'll never ever seem to stick. Every couple nights or so, you end up in my dreams. Like a girl who could love me, now you're gone. It's love 'cause they told you so. In your arms you'll always seem to know. In another time, in another place, another arm and another face, you're gone. It's not the right time, no. My heart was hers for the taking. Now that it's breaking, it's making me ill. So if you aim to please me, I'm not broken, I'm shattered. My heart, it still matters. So if you aim to please me, I'm not broken, I'm breaking. My heart was mistaken, so if you go, don't leave. I'm not alone, but I'm still alone. I'm not alone. Hearts, they were taken. Life was mistaken too many times. Things that they matter, things as they shatter in time. Fine, right, fine. hits you like a ton of bricks. You think it's love, but it'll never ever seem to stick. Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, boy.
All right. Well, yeah, so... That's an intimate song. If you stayed this whole time through my rambling and Shane's patience to try to guide me to not ramble so much, you heard a rarity that usually only gets played on this couch.
Nice. Very cool, man. Well, thank you for sharing. Well, you can come out again. Like I said, we got the two shows on the calendar at the moment, but you can follow PJ online for more dates coming soon. But the benefit on the... August
on the 19th, and you know, if you want to chill out, I do know that the band following me is going to rock and melt some face. So you'll hear me doing a lot of Jackson 5 and Steve Miller Band and all that fun stuff. But I promise you, they're well rehearsed, and then a really great band behind, and then you'll get that great feeling of, you know, knowing that you contributed it to. A good cause. And if you don't want to be a part of that, and maybe the price tag's a little too steep for you, then come out to ITAP September 1st. The guitar sultan, Matt Roland, and I will try to acoustically melt your face to the best of our abilities.
And, you know, throw a couple bucks in the tip jar, help fund this new EP.
Amen!
Yeah.
We happily take the couple dollars or, you know, a pint of whatever delicious is on tap, and boy, do they have a lot on tap there. If I'm not selling ITAP enough. They're great.
Yeah.
I tap them right on the shoulder and say, you guys did a good job.
All right, buddy. Well, I thank you so much for doing this, man. This has been fun getting to hang and getting to get to know some of these songs and get some of the stories behind the songs. And
well, I'm just happy that you're willing to let me bend an ear, and after so much time of listening to these and, you know, just countless people that I admire and that I know doing these, I'm glad that you made your way to the living room.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for having me over. And I'll, again, come out to these shows and keep an eye out new EP hopefully soon, man.
Damn we'll right.
Get these songs recorded.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Shane.
All right.
You've
thanks,
been
buddy.
Awesome.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.